You're listening to episode 14 of 88 Cups of Tea with Yin Cheng.
Am I doing this right? Hi, I'm your host, Yin Cheng, and thanks for joining me on 88 Cups of Tea. This podcast is created to leave you feeling motivated from interviews with storytellers, where we learn how they create opportunities for a successful career without losing sight of the values that make us human. Whew, that was a really long run-on sentence.
I'd love to thank Scrivener for sponsoring today's episode. Scrivener is a tool that helps writers bring their stories to life. I use Scrivener to gather all my thoughts, ideas, and research in an organized way that makes writing the chapters so much easier for me. Stay tuned for a featured interview with Julia Pierce, the head of marketing at Scrivener, at the end of this episode to find out why she uses Scrivener, the one feature she absolutely loves, and the very special promo code just for our tribe of storytellers. Hey guys, we have Kate Barker Froyland here with us today. She is a Brooklyn-based writer and director. Her first feature film, Song One, stars Anne Hathaway, and it premiered at the 2014 Sundance Film Festival, and I'm so excited for her to be on the show with us today. Kate, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you so much. I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm very good. So let's get started a little bit about how you got into filmmaking.
I started out writing, actually. I used to write a lot of short stories, fictional short stories growing up, and loved movies as well. You know, I grew up watching a lot of French and German movies, independent films. And so I decided that I wanted to be a director. I ended up going to graduate school for it, for directing. I studied as an undergrad philosophy and literature, and I studied in France too, so where I actually got to see a lot of great films. And then, you know, I started making short films really first. Then I basically worked on feature films as well to get that experience. And I was an assistant to a director. It was for the film Devil Wears Prada, which was an amazing experience because I got to see how a film was made on a bigger level.
I know you said you were doing a bit of short films. And how did you transition from short films over to a feature length like Song One?
I was writing features as I was making my shorts. I guess after I had done my second or third short film, it took about 6 years from the time that I wrote down the idea to the time that the film was made and released. So it took a little while. And in the meantime, I was making more short films, but I was constantly writing and rewriting my feature and trying to get it off the ground within that time. So
I think it's insane to me that that is your first feature film and you got Anne Hathaway. Did you submit that screenplay to competitions or like some type of grant competition where maybe it received accolades to attract such big star names to your film? How did that come about?
I didn't submit it to anything like that, but I basically sent an early draft of the script to Jonathan Demme, who had seen some of my short films. And, you know, he was curious about this feature that I was working on and to read something longer that I had written. And so I sent it to him and he read the script and he really connected with it. And he said that he wanted to produce it, which I was thrilled about. We started working together. He would give me a lot of notes and we would have these kind of note sessions and I would go back and do rewrites. And that lasted for probably a couple years. Yeah, a couple years later, he suggested sending it to Anne, who he had actually worked with on Rachel Getting Married. Anne and her husband, Adam, who he knew were interested in producing a film and that they also really loved music. And so much of Song One is about music. So he sent it to them to see if they would be interested in producing it. And they read it and we met and they were really into it and did want to produce it. And Annie basically wanted to be considered for the part of Franny because she really loved the part. Originally, Franny in that version of the script was a little bit younger, and I hadn't actually thought of her for the part at that time. As I started thinking more about it, I was like, you know what? She would actually be so great as Franny. So I adjusted it to her age, and I basically I cast her and started doing rewrites with her in mind. And that lasted for about a year and a half until we started shooting.
I'm not one to really understand that much about music. I kind of am the person who just pulls up whatever's on the radio, you know?
Right.
I wonder how you were able to get someone like me who has no understanding of music to be so drawn to these characters, and also what the inspiration was behind Song One.
The characters were always at the heart of the movie. It was so important for me to be able to make them real and grounded and just like real people, because I love that in movies and in stories, you know, whether it's a book or a movie, when the characters just feel real emotionally and in every way. I wrote a lot of backstory for each of them, a lot of which didn't really end up into the final script or into the final film. But I think that it actually helped the actors and helped all of us to really get into the characters, just knowing so many aspects about their histories and about who they were. And I also think that the movie is so much about music and the experience of music, and that is linked to emotion. And I think everybody has a favorite song or multiple favorite songs, and everybody has a different connection, their own unique connection to music. And I really tried to make that come through with these characters. Like in the scene where James and Franny, they're on the bed and going through the fan lute, and James plays Franny his favorite song, and it's that Nina Simone song. So like, that's something that was really James for me. When I was writing the script, I listened to a ton of music and tried to connect each character to a musical identity.
It's funny, I felt so educated about music because I was so unfamiliar with it. And you doing that specifically with the characters allowed me to understand their world without feeling like an outsider. So huge kudos to you for that.
Oh, thank you. Well, the other thing is, you know, when I set out to make this movie, I really didn't set out to make just a Brooklyn music movie. It is really about the characters. In terms of the inspiration, music is one of the things that really got me writing the script, because I love the idea that it really connects people. And you can be listening to something in New York and the same song could be playing in Morocco, you know, and somebody will have a different, their own connection to it. In Song One, basically Franny becomes linked to James through her brother's music and through James's music, you know, so it's like it links them all up. And I love the idea of that.
I think that your writing also is so solid. I'd love to know if you could share some tips and advice on how you were able to write such a solid screenplay.
Having written short stories before screenplays, it was really helpful in terms of the characters and also with dialogue. I think that really helped. I did take screenwriting classes when I was at Columbia, which is where I went to grad school. I haven't really read many screenplay writing books, but I do think that one of the main things for me, at least, was trying to write every day and trying to plow through, even when it's hard, because writing can be really hard on some days. And I think just getting through those hard moments, I think that that persistence is actually, it will make the writing better.
Yeah, talking about those moments, have you ever been stuck in a lull where you really faced writer's block?
Not really, because I just try to write through it. If I feel blocked, I've definitely stared at my screen and then like, okay, this really isn't working today. But I still try to write on that day, you know, even if it comes out really badly, at least I tried. That's also the art of rewriting. And that's one of the things that I learned on this film, because I did so many rewrites of the script. I realized that I wanted to try all these different things. And rewriting can be really fun too. You know, it's like a puzzle and you have to take it apart and then put it back together. And I learned to really love that process.
Back to your film, is that something that was inspired by your own personal stories?
Yeah, it was entirely fictional. I had this idea for the characters. It actually started with the characters. And I loved the idea of this young woman who's sort of separated herself from her life in New York, where she grew up, and her family. She basically is in Morocco getting her PhD. She always, in my mind, she was studying nomadic tribes. And I love the idea of this girl who's so far removed, and she's really removed herself from her old life, you know, and that she's gotten into this fight with her brother, this argument, and that was the last time she talked to him, and that's Henry. She doesn't really understand where he's coming from. And then this accident happens, and she has to come back to New York and face it all. And she meets this, basically a stranger, who's James. I love the idea that these two people would have never met under normal circumstances because she's an academic and James is a musician, but they're both these kind of lost characters when they meet. All three of those characters, Henry, Franny, and James, were just very bloomed in my mind. It really started with those three coming together. And yeah, and Franny and James, they meet under these really hard circumstances. James was very clear in my mind too, because in a way he, and this is probably why I thought Franny would be studying nomadic tribes. James is sort of like a nomad in his own way. He's sort of an old soul. He doesn't really know. He had this one indie hit album. He has all these fans, but he doesn't really do social media and technology and all of this stuff. He like lives in a cabin in the woods, and he just makes a connection with Franny that I think is really real. It was really from those characters though that the story developed.
That's amazing that you were able to come up with all of that totally fictionalized.
Oh, thank you. The music is really something that came to life as the songs were being written by Jenny and Johnny. And one thing, for example, James plays the violin in the movie. Originally, that wasn't in the script. James just played guitar. But when we cast Johnny Flynn, it turned out that he was this brilliant violin player. So we incorporated that into his character. And so it's sort of something like Bob Dylan playing the harmonica. It's a thing that his fans are waiting for it. And they love when he brings out the violin and plays it at shows.
I did notice that. And I was wondering, wow, you cast such a talented actor. Well, that was him really singing.
Yeah, I wanted to record all of the music live because I wanted to capture what it's like to go to listen to music and to go see people perform. And for me, that was so important. Recording it live was so important to that experience. Yeah, we had to find someone who could both act and sing and be that character realistically.
I was wondering what the casting process was like for that. And I just imagined how fun that would have been to sit there and just to see these actors coming in and then performing.
Yeah, there were so many great actors and great musicians. And the thing about Johnny is that he basically was performing in Shakespeare in Twelfth Night when we cast him as James. And he's also a fantastic musician. He has albums out. It was a really hard part to cast because the person playing James had to be a really good actor and a really good musician, and also had to be believable as this particular kind of musician. So basically how Johnny kind of became involved was I had seen this French film actually at the New York Film Festival, and there was a song in it that was so gorgeous. It was at the end of the film. I left the theater kind of humming it in my mind, and I sort of forgot about it. I didn't know who wrote it. And then 6 months later, when we were casting James, I happened to see a trailer for that same movie, and the song was in the trailer. And I was like, oh, I wonder who wrote this. So I started Googling, and I found out that it was Johnny Flynn. The song is called The Water. I looked at his Wikipedia page and it said he was not only a singer and musician, but he was also an actor who was performing Shakespeare. So he basically, you know, self-taped, and then we flew to London and watched him perform in Twelfth Night. And then he read with Annie afterwards, and it was very clear that he was James.
The characters are so authentic. It has a lot to do with your directing and you directing the actors. I would love to know if there's any advice that you can share with our listeners on how to communicate with actors to receive the kind of performances that you're looking for.
I think knowing the characters and that the actors know the characters so well is really, really important. We did a little bit of rehearsal, not very much. We were talking for, you know, with Annie, it was a year and a half before we started shooting, talking about Franny, and we did a couple of readings and stuff like that. So she really could inhabit the role once we started shooting. And we had so little time to shoot that was a really great thing. And with Johnny, I was talking with him on Skype a lot because he lives in London. And leading up to the shoot, we were talking a lot about James and his music. So I think if you can do that, that's really great. But I think also on set, making everybody feel comfortable and open to trying out different things, that's really important too.
Was there ever a scene where it was super challenging for you as a director, maybe just overall with the set and some things were kind of working against you? So is there anything that you can share, like a really challenging one that showed you who you were as a director when time came down to it?
The day that we shot at Bowery Ballroom was probably our most challenging day. And I was so excited because I love Bowery Ballroom. It's probably my favorite place in New York to listen to music. I was so excited that we were getting to shoot there. It was so amazing to shoot there, but it was also the most challenging day probably because James's character, you know, performs throughout the film in different venues. And Johnny basically had to perform all of his songs on that stage at Bowery Ballroom. Just because of the timing of our shoot, we had to kind of redress the set. And he basically gave like an 8-hour show. And we also had a lot of background actors. We had to basically create a concert and create James's concert and different ones. It was really a packed day. And the clock was running. As I said, we were shooting the music live or recording the music live. And that adds a whole other level. It was a full day, but it was also really, really so much fun. And we also got to shoot in Morocco.
You were really on location, like you were there.
Yeah, we were there. We weren't sure if we were going to be able to go towards the end of the shoot when we realized that there was enough money for us to go, enough in the budget. So we took a very small crew, skeleton crew, and went to Morocco for about less than 2 days. And we were basically, we shot in the tent there. That was challenging in its own ways too, but it was also, we just had a really great time.
Yeah, I bet you guys were so close after that film was finished. And talking about the budgeting, I'd actually would love to know, especially because this is your first feature, how were you able to finance Song One? If there's any tips or advice that you can share with our listeners who are perhaps struggling with financing either their short film or feature film, is there any helpful tips or advice that you can share?
I think having great producers is really key because it didn't really fall on me to raise the money for the film. It was really, I had really, really great producers. So I think I would really recommend finding people who are passionate about your project and working with those people, because that was another thing about this film. Everybody just cared so much about it and really wanted to make it happen. And there was so much passion involved. And I think that's so key for a short film, an independent film, really any film, probably. That was something I was really grateful for and I think is so important.
Was that the same with your short films as well, where you brought on producers who were very passionate?
Yeah, even for this film, but also short films, you are involved in the everyday process of it. But I definitely always worked with people who felt like they wanted to make this into a film. For one of my short films, I got a grant, actually. I applied. So that's also, you know, a great thing. I know there are a bunch of grants out there.
And what is a book or a few books that are your favorite that you could share with us that's helped you in your writing and directing career?
So there's one book called Principles of Uncertainty, which I actually just rediscovered. I loved it so much when I read it. It's by Mara Kalman, and it's a blend of art, because she draws and paints, and actually there are photographs in it too, and her writing. And it's such a creative book, and I was so happy. I actually just pulled it off my shelf a couple days ago after not looking at it for a while, and it's such a great book. It's sort of stream of conscious. It has so many emotional elements to it. It's funny and sad, and it's whimsical, and I love it. I love this book called A Visit from the Goon Squad by Jennifer Egan. There's also music in that one, actually, too. It's kind of like a puzzle, that book. It's sort of, you don't know where it's going until everything comes together at the end. And the characters in it are really, really great. And in terms of movies, I love this one film called The Beat That My Heart Skipped.
Oh, that sounds pretty. I like that title.
Yeah, it's such a great film. It's by Jacques Audiard, this French director. It also has a music theme. It's about a guy who is a pianist, but he's also very involved with crime. And I love that film. And I love the films of Wong Kar-wai too.
Oh yeah, he's solid. Yes.
Beautifully shot. And also he uses music so well.
Amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that, Kate. And what are you working on right now that we can catch you or find you at?
I'm actually writing right now. Yeah, so I'm working on several other scripts right now, but one of them is one that I am hoping to direct as well.
Oh, I'm so excited for you. And can you tell our listeners where we can catch Song One for them to watch?
Oh, yeah. It's on iTunes and Amazon and I'm sure a bunch of other online places.
Amazing. Kate, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Yen.
Hey, storytellers. I hope you enjoyed Kate's episode and thank you so much for listening in to episode 14. Please head on over to say hi to Kate on Twitter at KBarkerFroiland. That's KBarkerFroiland. FROYLAND. For the list of books and resources she mentioned in her episode, head over to 88cupsoftea.com/podcast/KateBarkerFroiland.
As mentioned at the top of this episode, I'd love for you to get to know the team behind Scrivener. We have Julia Pierce, the head of marketing, with us today to talk a little bit about Scrivener. Julia, I'm so happy to have you on the show right now. I'm such a huge fan of Scrivener. Funny thing is, I actually learned about you guys through one of my guests I interviewed for the show. She's a best-selling novelist of an Oprah's Editor's Pick and an O. Henry Prize winner. So yeah, you better believe that I most definitely checked out the software she uses for her writing. I'm so grateful to her for mentioning you guys, and I'm so thrilled to have you as an official sponsor of 88 Cups of Tea. So let's get right into it. Tell me how Scrivener has helped you with your work and what do you love about it?
The idea behind Scrivener is that it was developed for writers. My background's in journalism, so it's really, really helped me. For instance, when you're writing a feature, you might have different sources, you might have different interviews with different people. The beauty of Scrivener is that it allows you to get everything into one place. So beforehand, you might have had a few files in Microsoft Word, you might have had some stuff on a spreadsheet in Excel, and you're sort of thinking to yourself, oh, I know I made some notes about this, and I know I spoke to this person, but what did I call that file? I'm searching through my computer, I can't find anything. But with Scrivener, you can drag it all into one folder, everything's in one place at your fingertips. So whenever you're looking for something, you can just do it straight away. And you can pull in things like videos, you can pull in audio files as well. So it's a very, very flexible tool. A lot of writing software is built with a particular style in mind or going through a particular process. You may have to fill in character sheets and so on before you can actually get into the software itself and start writing. We don't believe in that at all. What we think is that everybody writes, all writers are completely different. They have their own individual styles and ways of doing things. So the idea behind Scrivener is that Scrivener doesn't get in the way, it molds to your style. You think about how you would like to write, whether you like to plan everything first, or whether you like to just sit there and write everything, and then at the end go, now I need to organize everything, now I need to go back and edit, and think, did I say Steve had blue eyes at the beginning, and now he's a tall man with dark eyes? And I'm sure everybody who's listening who's an author knows, oh yeah, continuity. We have all these things within the program. You just mold it to whatever you need to do, really.
Yeah, that's what I love about Scrivener too. I actually jumped into your software thinking it was just for people who wanted to write books, but I realized a few days into that, it's so perfect for any kind of writing, any kind of research and organization. It's actually perfect, especially for someone like me who's so scatterbrained with all these ideas and thoughts I need to collect and jot down. And you guys have made my life so much easier because I used to get so annoyed having to switch back and forth between all of my documents that were stacked on top of each other one by one at the very bottom of my desktop screen. So then you'd have to kind of like skim through and look through and keep clicking all these buttons. So I would always lose my train of thought because I was so busy trying to find all of these hidden images and PDFs and Word documents. So just a few days into using Scrivener, I realized really quickly that not only can I use it for a more organized way of getting ideas down for a novel, but I've also used it to create the content for my podcast's website and setting up contracts and even business emails. I feel like every time I use Scrivener, I always discover brand new features and I'm like, whoa, where did that one come from? I'm sure there's a lot more features that I'm not aware of yet. So why don't you tell us about one of your absolute favorite features on Scrivener?
Actually, the one feature that I really do like is when you go into the corkboard and you can stamp each individual card with a message sort of like done, needs editing, final draft, something like that. I just find it really, really easy to go back through chapters of things that I'm writing and just to quickly flick onto corkboard view and just see, actually, no, I've done that. It's nice to be able to see your progress as you go through and just mark that done, done, done. It's just the way my mind's organized.
Yeah, definitely just go for it. before. I actually went through the Active tutorial myself, and it really helped a lot in figuring out how to use Scrivener, because it can be overwhelming in the beginning. And I'll also have to jump on the video tutorials, because that sounds really helpful too. So thank you so much for sharing your take on Scrivener, Julia. And that wraps it up, guys. As you can see, I'm so proud to partner with Scrivener, as I really do believe in them. And if you haven't used them yet, I really encourage you to download their free trial and check it out for yourself. I want this tool to help you as much as it's helped me. So if you decide that you do love it, Scrivener has a very special offer just for our Storyteller Tribe. Head over to 88cupsoftea.com/Scrivener and enter promo code 88cupsoftea at the checkout page for a 20% off discount.
Hey guys, it's me again. Thanks so much for listening in on 88 Cups of Tea. Go create something magical today, and I'll catch you in the next episode. Bye!